Hello, everybody. It's March 9th, 2020, and it's episode 44 of the Clappercast. I'm Burke.
I'm Sean.
And we got to recap another week here of the NHL, Sean.
Yeah, so we've got some trade news that's been dying down and switching back over to NHL business side of things. And you know what segment we haven't had on the podcast in a while?
What's that?
What the fuck are the Senators doing? And in this week's version... is the CEO Jim Little that the Senators organization had just fired less than 8 weeks ago, like late January. He has been fired for, it's still a mystery as to what the exact reason is, because it's kind of jumped around between a few different things. The initial one was operational, a difference in opinion on operational stuff. Then it came out that Jim Little said that the two had got into a heated argument that included using some very strong language, including swearing, which was the reason he got fired. Then it turns out that the Senators had done an investigation into Jim Little's past, which has revealed a history of domestic abuse put online by his ex-wife. And we're still trying to piece together everything that's happened here. And there's still news has still been coming out. The latest that I had seen is that Elliot Friedman had been talking about like how it doesn't take very long for any goodwill that the Senators organization had gained over the last year to be shattered, and that it's still a result of a huge crisis of confidence that the Senators fan base has in Eugene Melnyk. So the theory is that this crisis of confidence is something that Jim Little had reminded Melnyk of, which sparked a big argument over, you know, some sort of ego thing, probably. And the argument was apparently so loud in the arena or in the area in the office that people in the area could hear exactly what was said.
Yeah, apparently they said like the team would be better off if you took 12 months off or something to that effect.
Yeah, I don't think 12 months is long enough.
Yeah. 12 years, maybe. Yeah, it's been 0 days since the Sens controversy, Sean.
Basically.
Just keeps happening.
And what I also just saw today is that a VP of Communications and Community Relations named PJ Loiello, who was hired by Little, actually has been placed on leave as well, with no real reason as to why, but the organization took Loiello's laptop and phone the day that Little was fired.
Huh. So they took the other person's, the communications officer's laptop and phone away before he was even terminated. That's kind of weird.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's another interesting one. I'm wondering what the deal with that one is. If it's just because he's kind of Little's guy that they want to get rid of him, or if he was kind of
damage control, maybe because if his communications guy, he's got access to various different channels of, you know, external communications. So.
Exactly. Well, the thing too is like this guy, if he's the VP of Communications and Community Relations, Elliot Friedman was talking about an external report that had been done that kind of came to the conclusion that people did not like Melnyk still. And
shocker.
Was he the guy who was in charge of this? Like, are they just kind of getting back at this other guy as well? Or
yeah, spicy. I knew there was something else to it.
You did.
I knew it.
There, you called it. There is something else to the story behind it, and every single day you're being proven right yet again.
Something in the water out there in the nation's capital, and it's just making this hockey team's tire fire continue to burn.
Yeah, they'd been doing decent. They had gone quite a while with no major controversy or questionable decision.
They had the Bobby Ryan thing. Things were looking up.
Right.
You know that meme of that dog that's like sitting in a kitchen and it's just on fire and it's this is fine?
I think that's Melnyk's office.
Yeah. Melnyk or Dorian. Yes. Yeah. This is fine.
100%. Actually, that's probably the office that this argument took place in.
Yeah, probably. Just the burning remnants of a once, you know, solid franchise. Oh, what could have been if they had some competent people at the helm that weren't weird fucking
Eugene Melnyk
pharmaceutical company money. Yeah, what a franchise. I feel really bad for Sens fans at this point, you know, besides not going to games, not spending your money on the team, what can you really do?
Exactly. And I mean, that's they're doing exactly what they have in their power, just not going to games and taking a knock in the team's revenue, which sucks because it's going to make probably thoughts of moving the team to a different fan base is a legitimate option, but it's not the real solution because the problem is the owner.
I guess for Sens fans, one thing that they can do is that they've had a great diaspora of talent out of that organization, so they can cheer on those individual players like, you know, Mark Stone, Erik Karlsson. I guess Karlsson's hurt, but Mika Zibanejad, he's having a great year. They can just cheer on all of their former players because they're all over the league and they're all doing pretty good.
They can also do, because the team is somewhat close to other NHL markets, is just go watch the Senators in other markets and avoid the home arena.
They could also just do like a random number generator and just pick a random team, just start following them. Because at this point, like, how do you stay invested?
Exactly. And at this point, too, I mean, the random number generator, you're likely going to end up on a team that has a former Senator on it already, or will have one in the next few years. The rate they've been going.
Yeah. Yep, you got the Islanders, you got Nashville, you've got San Jose, you got Vegas, you got the Rangers. They're really all over the place.
Edmonton, too.
Yeah. So take your pick at Sens fans. Sorry. Absolutely. Sorry, bros.
That being said, don't forget about the team when maybe eventually Melnick sells it and they can get out and go back to their hometown team.
Yeah, outside of the city in Canada. Hometown team.
Out of Canada.
Fucking Senators, man. Just never stops.
It never does.
We want to get off Mr. Bones' wild ride, but just can't.
Can we rename? Let's rename the Senators Arena just Mr. Bones' wild ride.
I'm down. Start the petition.
Start the petition. In other NHL news, this one is big because this has been a source of a lot of controversy over the last few years since it's been implemented. That the league appears to be poised to take to change the offside rule. To factor in a skate in the air / breaking the plane rather than skate on the ice over the blue line, which I think is probably the best way to handle that, because it's going to be a lot easier, if I'm understanding how they're going to check it correctly, it's going to be a lot easier to tell when something is actually offside compared to now.
Yeah, I think it's going to cut down on the review times for sure, because you have that plane from the blue line going up, and anybody that's crossing that, it's on or on sides, offside. So I think it's going to be way easier. I think it is a kind of a clever solution to the issue.
And I think it's one a lot of people have been talking about, is why don't they switch to a vertical plane? Because then you can just put a line, like a vertical line off of the blue line. And if you're completely past that, you're offside. There's no trying to.
Simple, elegant solution. Yeah. I like it. I'm down with that. I mean, how many plays have you seen where it's been that exact scenario and it's led to, you know, like a 5-minute review, and then it's too close, so they don't know.
Of course, because you've got the weird camera angle and you're trying to look at a player's skate if there's like a millimeter or a centimeter off the ice, and you're trying to look between like 18 players or between every other player on the ice's legs to see if the one skate is off. And this one, all you have to do is just look at the back of the blue line and see where they're at. Mm-hmm. Might be hard to tell who's who at some points, but you know, there's other inferences you can make off of that information to help make a quicker and a better, more accurate call.
Yeah, I'm definitely supportive of anything that cuts down on the analysis time of the officials on the ice. It just slows the game down, and it's just not a fan of that. So I think it's a good move. I'm supportive of it. Hopefully they can put that through.
Hopefully. Now, I don't think it's confirmed yet. It was at the recent Board of Governors meetings that they haven't come out and confirmed it and put in place an action plan for it. But some of the major insiders, notably Darren Dreger, were talking about it on Twitter, how this is an expected change. So we can probably expect it next year, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully. And apparently they also looked at the emergency backup goalie rules, but they elected to keep it the way it was or is.
I think it's totally reasonable what they have. The only thing I would change is that the each team should have their own team's equipment ready, like in terms of pants and helmet, because then it does look really weird when you've got a Hurricanes goalie wearing Leafs gear.
Yeah, that did look weird.
Or require emergency backups to have like team neutral gear or something.
Yeah, just generic white or black gear. I think that would be easy. Yeah, it seems kind of weird that David Ayers is like even remotely connected to the Leafs. It just seems kind of weird that he was the backup goalie and not some neutral person, you know?
That is, yeah. There, you know, you can contemplate on the conflict of interest, and especially after the guy goes into the net and lets in the first two shots in the important game standings wise.
Yeah, that's like the Leafs. He's a guy that's practiced with the team. And
because like wasn't it the next day he was back on the ice with the Leafs in practice?
Yes.
Something like that, yeah. So
I think that conflict of interest, I don't know, maybe that's what they were looking at, but I think that could be the one potential issue. Because like Scott Foster wasn't a guy who worked for the Blackhawks. He wasn't going to their practices and playing with the team, and he didn't know the guys. And I think that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be someone who's affiliated with either team.
Yeah.
Just like the arena. But other than that, I think it's fine.
Always a good story. I mean, it happens so infrequently that it's not like it's a major factor in anything. And it's always kind of just fun to see, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
It lets those of us who are never going to make the NHL still have our hopes alive that we can one day dream that dreams will come true, right?
At least for goalies.
Yeah.
There's not going to be an emergency skater ever, I don't think.
We need the emergency stay-at-home defenseman right now.
Emergency pylon.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Philadelphia Flyers for a second here, because what they have done over the last 2 months, rocketing up the standings, is pretty incredible in a division as competitive as the Metropolitan has been this year.
You could say they're flying right now.
Oh, good one. Good one.
Yeah, real, real good. Yeah, yeah, they've won 9 straight. They're just
straight.
Just unreal. I know the Caps are sweating their butts off right now because they're coming. Ooh, Lord, they're coming.
And especially so because they're losing 2-0 to Buffalo as we record this.
Yeah, that's rough. I wonder if Voracek and the boys went out for some beers again. Because remember that a few seasons ago when they had that giant losing streak, and then they just said, like, we went out for some beers. We decided that's not what we want to do. So we turned it around. So I wonder if they had another beer session.
Wonder. Isn't that what St. Louis did last year, too?
Probably.
Some of them went, and that's where Gloria came from. Like, they went out to a bar or something, and that song was playing, and there's a few of them just kind of rallied around that night or something.
Could very well be. I wonder if Philadelphia been the worst team in the league this season at all? At any point?
I don't think they were ever that bad. Detroit's still in the league, remember.
Well, and I guess they're not going to win the cup, confirmed.
Nothing to worry about there.
We're still waiting for Detroit to turn it around here.
They've only got 17 games left. Come on.
They can do it.
12 games.
Have faith in the Iser plan.
But one of the big positives on Philadelphia's roster right now is Carter Hart and what he's been doing for their goaltending position over the last couple months here. He's kind of split the season and starter with Brian Elliott, but right now he's on a personal 7-game winning streak. He just became the first goalie in NHL history of 2 of those before the age of 22. And how long has it been since the Flyers have had consistency in their net? Like 15 years? They've been jumping between goalies every other year.
Yeah, it's awesome for them. I mean, he's had his definite struggles this year. You know, he's been a beast at home, and he's been kind of shaky on the road at times. So it's awesome to see him kind of coming around and getting a bit more consistency. He's when he's on, he's on. Like, he's really, really great when he's at the top of his game. So it's cool to see, especially with a guy so young.
Yeah, he's poised to be a top-tier goalie in the league coming forward here.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself because I drafted him in my fantasy league, and then I dropped him when he was doing bad.
Yeah, you need to do
that. Goalies are so hard. Goalies are just tough.
Voodoo magic in real hockey, and they're voodoo magic in fantasy hockey, too.
It's true. They're weird people, and just you never know when they're going to get hot and just carry a garbage team to the finals, and who knows?
Not saying that Kashuk salutes you.
Not saying Philly's garbage, but you know, you just meet a hot goalie at the right time. And
oh, and that's the thing. Like, Philly's had such a good roster for years, and they keep kind of floundering every other year because they don't have a stable goalie presence.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're set to make the playoffs this year, both in their preseason thing, because their streak has been like miss the playoffs one year and make it the next for like the last 6 years, and they're due to make it this year, which is now even more confirmed with their place in the standings. But it'd be nice to see them break out of that.
It really came out of nowhere here. I guess a 9-game winning streak will do that for you.
Really good timing for that too.
If the playoffs started today, they would play Pittsburgh.
What a match that would be.
That would be unreal. It'd be a bloodbath. It'd be so great.
Oh yeah.
I can't imagine what things Philadelphia Flyers fans would throw at Pittsburgh Penguins. It'd be great. Gritty would be involved. Gritty would be, one of his first sentences was like, I hate the Penguins or something, wasn't it?
Something along those lines. It endeared to Flyers fans immediately.
Yeah, that's when we knew this guy's for real.
Exactly.
Yeah, and another playoff series that I want to happen is Boston and Tampa Bay. They played over the weekend, and man, that was a game.
It was a high-intensity game. Like, we've got two of the best teams in the league, so they're, you know, they're exciting, fast, high action to begin with. But they started developing a bit of a rivalry, it seemed, on the ice, too, with some of the physical play.
Yeah, there was a line brawl. That's a rarity.
A couple dog piled Marchand after he took an extra swing at the goalie after the whistle.
Oh, big surprise there, hey?
Yeah, I think they were probably keeping an eye on him and took the first opportunity they could to retaliate on Brad Marchand.
Yeah, that was a fun one. There was a lot of bad blood there. It's fun. You know, he had Patrick Maroon. He's obviously with the Blues last season in the playoffs, and got to see him kind of return.
It's nice to see him still succeeding once in a while. He also beat Zdeno Chara in a fight, so good for him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun one. I need that playoff series in my life, but it would probably mean that you wouldn't see Toronto versus Boston. So,
and looking at the Atlantic standings right now, that Boston and Tampa is not going to happen in the first round anyways.
Yeah.
Toronto's 13 points back of Tampa in second, so
yeah.
I don't think Boston or Tampa are going to fall down that much in the last 12 games here.
Yeah, so we'll have the battle of the blue and white jerseys between Tampa Bay and Toronto, unless anything dramatic happens.
I could go for another Boston-Toronto first round. You got to beat the demon, right? You can't just like find your way through another way.
No, I mean, they're not going to win the cup if they don't go through Boston. Guaranteed. Exactly. That's just the way hockey works, is you have to go through your ultimate villain on the way to the finals. Otherwise, it doesn't count.
Exactly. That's why Washington's Cup win is very important. Beat the demon on your way through.
Yeah, it just makes it so much sweeter. Like, that almost felt like its own cup win on its own, you know?
Oh, for sure. Not to mention what that's going to do for the team on the ice to finally get that monkey off your back.
Yeah, it's just, you feel unbeatable after that. It's just awesome.
Someone who might be feeling a little bit beat up right now is going to be Rasmus Ristolainen. He had an excellent play along the boards over the weekend here, where I don't know what exactly he was trying to do. He was on the near side boards, so we don't see his feet, but he looked like he was trying to do a little bit of a cut along the boards to turn around and skate backwards, but he must have caught a rut or got his foot hit on the boards or something, and it just took an absolute ate shit all over the ice. And
yeah, I don't know what was going on there.
He got Cronwall, basically.
He checked himself and then he wrecked himself.
He did both. You can tell it was a big one because he threw his stick afterwards too, like in the process.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. He just like got hit by a ghost and just exploded.
Exactly. It's like when you're playing a video game and you hit the edge of the world and like there's a random barrier at the edge of the world and you just like bounce back. That's kind of what it looked like.
Yeah, I thought it was a good representation of Buffalo's season in a nutshell. You know, just wide open, just taking yourself out of the play.
Basically. And because the shitting on Buffalo never ends, one more update on the Wayne Simmons trade here. So that the Devils traded Wayne Simmons to Buffalo for help in a playoff race. Mm-hmm. Since acquiring Wayne Simmons, the Sabres are on a 6-game losing streak, and now the Devils have more points than the Sabres.
Wow, lucky for Wayne, eh?
Yeah, so they might be tied after tonight's game if Buffalo beats Washington, but, you know, as of this recording, it's not working out very well.
It makes no sense. That trade was just stupid from the get-go.
Like, I saw an argument that people are complaining that a veteran experience presence has been acquired for basically nothing, and people are still complaining. But it's not what the trade was. It's not that, like, it's nothing to do with the pieces. It's the fact that it was made in the first place. That is the issue with it.
Just, like, if you're that short-sighted and you don't see that the team's not going to make playoffs, you're not instilling confidence as a general manager in fans or players. If you can't recognize that fact, you should have flipped. You should have sold, not bought. It makes no sense.
Exactly.
Ridiculous. Yeah, they've lost 6 straight. So, welcome to Buffalo, Wayne.
Hope you had fun.
Yeah, he'll be out of there.
On the flip side, teams that are kind of surging here as we hit close to the end of the year, we've got the Minnesota Wild are actually sitting in the first wild card spot in the Western Conference right now.
Who would have thought, hey?
Exactly. Everyone, I'm pretty sure, had them pegged at the bottom of the West. Maybe LA was below them.
Yeah, I mean, they've really shot up. It's really surprising, considering they fired Boudreaux. I did not think Boudreaux was the issue, but I don't know. You can't argue with 7-3-0 in their last 10.
Yeah, big time. And, I mean, they only have a one-point cushion on the spot because there's 3 teams tied for the second wildcard spot. But what the Wild have going for them is the first tiebreaker with the regulation wins.
Yeah, they're right there in it. They're battling against currently Vancouver, Nashville, and Winnipeg for those wild card spots. So it's going to be a crazy race to the finish here. There's a lot of teams that are still in it. I think it could be a situation where it's like the last day of the season we find out who's in playoffs.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have something like that.
Can't wait.
And even like we've been talking earlier in the season about how close the Pacific is, and they're still really close. Not as close, but you still have Vegas at 84, Edmonton at 82, and Calgary at 79, and then Vancouver at 76. Those positions have been flipping. Exactly. And they've kind of been flipping around back and forth over the last couple of weeks still.
Yeah. Vancouver's been on a bit of a slide here with Markstrom being out. You really see some holes in their team now that Markstrom's not there to bail them out. Consistently, they play a pretty risky defense game, and they're being exposed a little bit. They're letting in a lot of goals.
Yeah, and that's one testament to the impact that a goalie who can steal you games is. You've got Markstrom who can just cover the team's defensive lapses as they go and outscore everybody else.
Yeah, it's really tearing me up because I've got Markstrom as my other fantasy goalie, and he's listed as out and not on the IR. And I don't have an IR plus spot in that league, so it's really killing me because I don't want to drop him. But we're in playoffs now in that fantasy league, and it's killing me having just a guy on the team not doing anything.
Of course.
But I mean, in the real league, it's just doing the same thing for the Canucks. They're in their playoff push and they're missing their MVP. So that's, not a good spot to be in. But luckily, I think there was some news that came out recently that Brock Besser is pretty close to returning. I think he's practicing non-contact, but he should be back in a week or two. So that's good. Get him back before playoffs, get some more regular season games under your belt, figure the lines out going into playoffs. Hopefully you can help them with their offense and, kind of just outscore the opponent to win games rather than relying on your defense and goaltending.
Time. That's a good one for Besser because I feel like around the trade deadline, Jim Benning came out and said that he's going to be about 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to get back early so he can get a few, like you said, regular season games under his belt, get his feet back under him before the playoffs, even just to help with the last couple of games.
Been about a month since he was out, so I think, yeah, definitely a little earlier than expected if he does come back soon. So yeah, that's good for Canucks fans for sure.
One thing I'm noticing here about Vancouver's record is this discrepancy between their home and away records, that they're sitting at 21-9-4 at home, but 14-18-2 on the road. That's pretty big difference.
Yeah, do you remember in the beginning of the season when they had that insane streak of home wins?
But that would be why then, or that would be the cause of that.
Yeah, they were playing some huge games at home. They were getting a lot of power play goals and just firing on all cylinders. It was fun to watch. I think, yeah, without Markstrom, they're a little less fun to watch, but they're still trying to get the offense going.
Of course. Looking at another goalie who's been the absolute heart and soul of his team this year is going to be Connor Hellebuck. That based off the numbers that he's putting up, he's legitimately a Vezina favorite, and he should probably get Hart consideration as well, Hart Trophy consideration, for how important that his numbers are to the team and the roster, given what we know about how depleted their defense has been, how many injuries the team's been dealing with through the year. And his play has kept them in the playoff race at this point. Like, they're still, like we said, they're tied for the second wildcard spot right now.
Yeah, they've, we've lamented their defensive woes quite a bit on this podcast. So it is surprising that they are where they are. But that, I think that's definitely straight on Hellebuck, how good he's played and, you know, how he's been able to win them games.
Yeah, and looking at some of these numbers here, like the Jets as a team have the worst expected goals percentage in the league, sitting at about 43%. They are 30th in high danger scoring chances per 60 against. So, you know, only one team gives up more high danger scoring chances than them. The team is 12th in goals against per game at 2.86. Hellebuck himself is 2.59. He has a .921 save percentage despite all of this. And these are numbers that are like respectable and very good on a goalie on a decent team. Never mind that he's covering them so much. And the key one for me is that he's leading the league right now on goals saved above average. He's sitting at 19.84 in that. Second is going to be Tuukka Rask at 19.5, and then it drops down to Anton Khudobin at 17.9, Darcy Kemper at 16.9, and Ben Bishop at 15.1. So that's not even like a close race. He's just pushing above others. Like, he's got a decent lead on the ones below him. And it's the same, like, he's second in minutes played for goalies behind only Carey Price.
Yeah, he's really, you know, cemented himself in that top end goalie in the league the last few years. He's really like cemented his place there.
Yeah. There were some questions because he had a bit of a struggle last year. He wasn't as good as he had been in years past, but he's had a major bounce back year right now, and the Jets couldn't be more happy with that.
Going into this season, I don't know what Winnipeg's expectations were, but it's exciting that they're even mentioned in the playoff race right now. Like, I would have thought they would have been completely out of the race. I would have thought they'd be where like San Jose is with their defense.
Easily. And you see how high powered some of the Western teams, especially like their division rivals in Colorado and even Chicago. And you look at their defense and it's like, well, these other teams are just going to skate right by them. They have like one okay pairing and then a bunch of guys who are fringe D-men in most other teams.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting to see them in the playoff race here. Hopefully we can get all the Western Canadian teams in playoffs. That would be something to see.
It'd be a nice change from some of the years in recent history when all of the Canadian teams are at the bottom of the conference.
The Pacific right now, so you mentioned Vegas, Edmonton, Calgary as current standings. How awesome would it be if that was the final Pacific standings, if we had an Edmonton-Calgary first round series?
That would be such an amazing first round. Like, everyone would be completely tired out by the end of that series. They wouldn't care about the rest of the playoffs. That'd be like, based off how the Battle of Alberta has been going this year, that would be the response to that.
That would be something to see. I really hope that we get that Even if it's not first round, it's hopefully second round somewhere. I just want to see that.
Of course.
Alberta would be on fire.
Even more than it usually is.
Yes, in the summertime, for sure. All right, well, is there anything else that you wanted to go over?
I think that about wraps it up for this week. So once again, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of Clappercast. If you want to keep up to date on any content we release through the week, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Clappercast or on Instagram at Clappercast Media. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with more hockey talk.